You praise. We give you glory and honor, and thank you for this day, the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit inhabits this place because it inhabits and dwells within us. Father, we pray that your will be done in this service today. Everything that goes forth, may it be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. Enemy of ours, you are not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Let the word go forth. Let the love, joy, and peace of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwell in these people. May those that walk through the door feel it, see it, and be drawn to it. Let your word go forth today. Let it dwell in our hearts and take root, Father, that we may be the men and women of God that we're called to be in this day, this hour, the army of God on this earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk to you about something that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks now. If you want to give a title to this service, you could call it A Day in the Life. A Day in the Life. And we have an enemy who is a deceiver. From Genesis to Revelation 20, he is named a deceiver. He has been a deceiver. He has always been a deceiver. And he'll be a deceiver when he's defeated. Revelation 20 says that he will no longer be able to deceive the nations when he is defeated and put into his own prison. I want to talk to you about one of the deceptions that he tells you is that your life is nothing like it should be, that you are not capable of doing what God has called you to do, that you're different than everyone else. Your ministry, your Christian walk looks different. And sometimes it does, because we are all mosaic pieces of a puzzle that's put together that reflects Jesus. That is the story that he gave me years ago, and that's why we have the look that we have on the current unity worship symbol. But I want to talk to you about a life in the day of Jesus. If you go with me to Mark 3 and 4 is where we're going to start from. I probably won't do a lot of reading. I'm just going to, because my time is short, but I want to go through these chapters and pull out what God has shown me to give to you today. Mark 3, it starts out that Jesus enters into the synagogue. This is a Sabbath day. And there was a man with a withered hand. And he goes to heal him. They watched him, you know. They watched him. They wanted to see if he would heal him. And he did. He called the man forth. But he looks around and says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? Because he knew that their law forbid work on the Sabbath. They did not answer him. So he went ahead and asked the man to stretch forth his hand, and when he stretched it out, his hand was restored whole as the other one. And straightway in verse 6, you see the Pharisees went forth straightway and took counsel with the Herodians, maybe that's how you pronounce it, but against Jesus and how they might destroy him. I want you to understand the significance of this. These are two different groups, and actually they do not like each other. It's amazing when you have one person in your circle, how the others will come together and gang up on them, even if they are enemies themselves. The Pharisees were, of course, a religious group. They observed the Mosaic law. They opposed the Roman occupation. And the Herodians, they were actually, like, you could look at them as a political group, because they were Jewish people who collaborated with the Romans and supported a particular leader that was set over them, Herod. And because doing this, they had compromised the observation of the Mosaic law. So literally, they were enemies, but they had come together to take counsel to kill or destroy Jesus. And this is just his morning starting. Have you ever felt like that in your day? I have. I know what it's like to walk among the serpents and the scorpions. And that's just the people I'm around. But Jesus withdrew, verse 7, himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from some of the other cities around beyond Jordan. They all come together to listen to him. And he spake to his disciples. He asked them that a small ship wait for him because of the multitude, that least they should throng him. That's how big of a crowd it was. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him. And as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightway charged them that they should not make him known. He's talking about the unclean spirits. But he said, keep a ship out here, because if they throng me, I'm going to have a way to get away and get to safety, you know. And he, verse 13, and he goes up on a mountain, and he calls unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he started ordaining the 12. And it goes about and says in verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. If you want to know what you're called to do, that's just what you got. Notice what it started out with, and that they should be with him. None of that works unless you're with him. And we can't physically be with him like the disciples were, but we have him dwelling within us through the Holy Spirit. But that still doesn't mean that you're with him. It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. That's your day right there, my friend. I don't care if you go to work. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom. I don't care if you work from home. That is what we are called to do as children of God. Be with him. To preach the gospel. And not all of us are going to stand up here with the mic and preach. Baby, you preach every time you open your mouth, every expression you put on your face, every reaction or a lack of reaction to someone, every word that comes out of your mouth, everything is a testimony. Your life is a testimony. You can read all this word you want, but if you don't let it abide within you and come out and make a difference in your life, apply it to your daily life, you are not with him. I'm not pulling any punches today. I'm going to tell you like it is. But if you are with him, he has sent you forth to preach. And he has sent you with power. You know, a lot of us, we want to say, we can't overcome sickness. We can't overcome the enemy. He died on the cross. It's a done deal. You're not administering that. You're administering the authority and power of Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. He already has the victory over the enemy. You're just applying it as needed. And it goes forth in verse 16 and gives their names of the 12 and even the one that would betray him. Sometimes in your circle, you need to know who you're dealing with, because not everybody's for you. Just because they're with you don't mean they're for you. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. That's verse 20. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they say he is beside himself. Do you see the contrast in his life there? He can't even go into a home and eat without them coming. You wonder why people just keep coming to you and talking to you about things. Or I had one lady looked at me, she says, why am I drawn to you? I said, well, let's get that scriptural. Let's not take that anywhere it ain't supposed to be. But there's a reason why you're drawn to me. It's because I'm light. I'm salt. Baby, I taste good. But sometimes I hurt if I throw it in a wound. It ain't going to be pleasant. But Jesus couldn't even do it. And even his friends are going, he has lost his mind. We got to go get him. That's one intervention that didn't happen, thank God. Verse 22, and the scribes went, which came down from Jerusalem, they said that he hath Beelzebub, that he, the prince of the devils, casteth he out devils. They say he was doing it by the power of the devil. It wasn't by God's power. And Jesus flatly tells them, if the kingdom be divided against itself, then the kingdom cannot stand. It cannot stand. And he gives them a little lesson there. And it goes on in verse 31. And who shows up? His mother and his brothers. He has lost his mind. I can just see it. His friends went back home and said, we couldn't do nothing with him. Maybe you can. Maybe you can. So mama and the brothers come out. Because, you know, mama, it's rare mama comes alone if the brothers are around. Now, I'm not saying we women won't fly out on our own, because we will. We will. And they tell him, said, your mother and your brothers are near. And he says, who is, behold, my mother and brother, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. He redefines your family once you come into the kingdom. Miss Donna is not related to me, but I call her my Donna. She's an inspiration to me. She gets up and goes every day. Even though her body screams against it, she is here taking care of these kids, making sure they're fed. She's even teaching now. Up there with her walker, they are helping her up the steps so that she can go and take care of our children. And they're not mine, but I claim them as mine. They're my little brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to make sure they have everything they need. Because the world is going to kill him if I don't. And she knows that. What kind of day are you having? This is a day. This is just a day. Flip over to Mark 4. And it says, and he began again to teach by the seaside. He's back to the seaside. This is a day, in my book anyways, we're going to make it at one day for him. In chapter 5 or 4 is one day, and actually part of 5 is one day as well. And he's teaching by the seaside. He gets into the ship, and he tells them these great stories, these parables. And the first one he teaches is the parable of the sower. It is a word to every Christian disciple of Christ. You are a sower. What are you sowing? Are you sowing seed that's going to bring forth harvest? Are you sowing death? This is just another day in the life. What are you speaking? What are you giving? How are you applying yourself? And I won't read the whole parable because, like I said, my time is short. But he goes down in verse 10. And it says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If you need to know something, you need to get alone with him. You need to spend a little time with him. Don't be calling up your husband, your coworkers. Definitely don't be talking to anyone that's not a Christian. They ain't got nothing to say to you that will be profitable anyways. You better get alone with God. And he reveals this parable to him. He makes an explanation of it. He said, some words are sown on the wayside. And when they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their heart away. And there are some that were sown on stony ground. And when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. They do not apply it. And therefore, it takes not root and it does not endure time. When persecution and tribulations come, the word is gone and they stumble. Now there's ones that are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word out, and it becomes unfruitful. But there are those that ones that are sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit from it. When you are a child of God, you have to expect that in your day. There were some that it will fall on deaf ears, as we call it. But there will be the few that take it and run. And as a teacher and a preacher of the gospel, those are the ones we cling to. Because it's very distracting and destructive to our mentality and our ministries when we consciously focus on the ones that didn't take it. Oh, it breaks your heart. Because the enemy seeps in and he says, look, they didn't receive it. It's not active in their life. You're doing this for nothing. All this time, all this worry, all this preparation, all this goodness that you're trying to do is for naught because they're not taking it. But praise God for the group that does. And you get to see their fruit. It's such a testimony and an uplifting to those of us who prepare and try our best to teach the right thing, to see the ones that helps. It helps. And how do we see it? Because you become fruitful. He says they are 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. They produce. That's what's so great. And then he goes on in verse 21 through 23, and he talks about the light under a basket. In other words, we don't get a lamp and put it under a basket. No, we set it up where everything can be seen. And he says, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Here's the other thing. If you guys will go sit down, please. Thank you. It's okay. See, there's the trick. If you have ears to hear, you got to get along with him. You can talk to him and ask him, but there's a time when I'm spending time with him that I sit quietly and listen. Because what kind of relationship would I have if all I did was all the talking? It's good to listen. 24, it says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. There's another reason why they don't want to hear it. Goes on in verse 26, and he talks about the parable of the growing seed. Now, and notice he starts this out. The kingdom of God is as. Again, Christian, this is all in the day of your life. This is all in the day. He says, the guy goes out and he plants, and he does all that he's supposed to do, and he goes to sleep, and he gets back up, and he keeps caring for it. And then one day he looks, and it's sprouting, and it's growing. And now he knows it's time to harvest it. That's the encouraging things. The ones that actually take the word. Encouraging. Then verse 30, he goes on to the parable of the mustard seed. And we know that it's the smallest seed, but it grows to be a wonderful big tree with lots of branches, large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. You, as a Christian, are the mustard seed, the tree that has grown and prospered. And because you have done that, you are able to sow into other people's lives. You're able to give them words of wisdom and comfort and even teaching times, which it may not be so pleasant, but you are able to do that, to help them grow and prosper. And then sometimes you have to kick them out. It's time to move on. We need to do this. We need more in the field for the harvest. And I like verse 33. It says, but without a parable, he did not speak. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Nothing's hidden from you if you want. So Jesus has been in the synagogue. He's picked his disciples. He tried to have a meal. He had some interventions that tried to happen. He went back to the seaside. He's taught and taught and taught and taught. And then verse 35, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And he gets in a boat. Everything has purpose, though. Everything has purpose. So does your day look like that? You know, we don't. We all go to work or we have some kind of work that we do. But in the time that we are doing these things and interacting, we should be teaching. We should be comforting. We should be healing if need be by the power of Jesus Christ, by his stripes. You should identify the enemy and put him running when he needs to be. This is just a day in the life. Evening has come. He says, we got to go to the other side. So now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. I think that's interesting. And other little boats were also with him. And a great storm rose upon. And the waves were beating into the boat. They just weren't beating the boat. They were beating into the boat. And I taught a sermon a long time. It ain't what's on the outside that's going to cause you to sink. It's what you let in. It's going to take you down. That's a sermon. Somebody write that down. Run with that one too. But he, meaning Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. I want to stop right there for a minute. It's a wonderful thing, but we're going to dissect this and get as much out of it as I can. Jesus done told him, go to the other side. What's the first thing that happens when God gives you direction or a mission? Who shows up? The enemy. He don't want you to have nothing of God's. He's going to bring every sickness against you, every busy, everything, every child. I don't care what it is. It's going to come against you. And Jesus is just right along in the boat asleep. And you up there going, oh, God, look at all these waves. God, don't you care that I'm in the storm? Do you think he was surprised by it? No, he wasn't. What did he do? He got up. And I want you to notice there is a lesson to learn here. He rose and rebuked the wind. And then he spoke to the sea. God gave me this analogy yesterday. And I made my husband dig up some dandelions. Luckily, he didn't have to go too far to get them. So here's what we do. We got this pretty little flower. It's not one that we want in our yard, though, is it? But this analogy works for two things. When I come up against it, this is what I do. Oh, you can't see it now. But it's still there. It's still got roots. It's still got roots. He spoke to the wind first because that was the problem. When you encounter the enemy, when you encounter the fruit of the enemy, we are caught up sometimes in rebuking and casting out the fruit. But we didn't go to the root. Anger. Who has anger issues? It's not just anger, though, is it? It usually comes from fear or trauma. It comes from not being in control and wanting to be in control. Addiction. It's never just addiction, is it? No. It's trauma. It's unforgiveness. It's generational. You're not dealing with just the flower. You've got to get to the root. Jesus calmed and rebuked the wind first. And then he spoke to the problem. In your life, when things rise up, take inventory. You're seeing the fruit of something that's rooted deep down. And if you don't speak to the problem and fix it first with the help of Jesus, this is still going to grow back. It's not going anywhere. And Jesus also said, sometimes we just said, okay, Lord, you can have this part. I lay it on the altar. Hallelujah. I let me do my little dance. I gave it to Jesus. And then we walk out with the root. And we are no longer healed. We're just buying time. We're just buying time. And the whole time the Holy Spirit's going, give it to me. Let the word cleanse you. Let me lead you and guide you into all truth. I want you to look what he said to him. And for years I've misquoted this. I'm going to say it. Why are you so fearful? Fear, it plays a big part in our lives. So many things. So many things. But I like what he said next. How is it that you have no faith? No faith. I always said little faith. It's no faith. He said, did I not put you in the boat? Did I not tell you to go to the other side? I don't care what storm comes up. I don't care how the enemy roars. You are going to the other side with me. Where's your faith? He spoke it over your life. What are you doing about it now? Did you let the enemy steal it from you? Did you step back because it just wasn't working out? I just couldn't see how it was going to be. God don't want you to see. He wants you to have faith. Walk forward. Keep going. I don't care about the wind. I don't care about the waves. You take the authority in the name of Jesus and you tell it to go and to stay in peace. And you walk in peace. Let him roar. Let him talk. Let him be angry. Let him send every devil your way. Girls, I've had him in my room, in my dreams. I've heard him speak to me. I have woke up in the middle of the night without breath in my body. And when I woke up, I realized it was a demonic attack because the darkness was so dark that I could feel it. And that wasn't God. That was the enemy had come for me. He told me in the dream. He says, I'm coming back for you. And he did. In my own bed. In my own home. But I stood flat-footed and I said, in the name of Jesus, you shall not have this child. I will not obey you. I am a child of God. I am whole. I am healed. I will not accept that curse. And I stand before you still today, despite his attempts. You've got to speak to the problem, not just the fruit. You better call the wind out and stand in authority. It was so awesome that they feared exceedingly. And it wasn't the fear of the enemy, it was reverential fear. They said, what? Who could this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Girl, if need be, I'd stand on the bow of a ship and do it too. And there's sometimes he lets me do it. And the storm subsides. And there's sometimes he calms me. And reminds me who I am. That no weapon formed shall prosper. And that I can walk amongst the snakes and the scorpions. And nothing shall harm me. But I've got to walk it out in that peace. Yes. The whole reason for him going in that boat and that whole experience, other than to teach us, was verse chapter 5. The country of the Gerasenes. There was a demon-possessed man there. This is a Gentile nation. Jews and Gentiles didn't have anything to do with each other. The reason why I know it, because there was pigs there rolling freely. The Jews don't eat pigs. They're unclean animals. He goes all the way over there through that storm for one. And in one chapter, in one verse, it says two. I was one of those that he come all the way over for. Because I had been on his side. And I thought it just wasn't fun enough. I won't be over here. But he did all that for one man in a Gentile nation. And the man, once he was healed, and the whole town saw that he was healed, they asked Jesus to leave. You got to go. We don't want your kind over here. The man wanted to go with him. He said, no, go back and tell him about me, about God. Be my witness. It's just a day in the life of Jesus. Does your day look like that? Mine does. Storms come. The enemy comes. John 15 and 18 says, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you. They hated me before. If you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Out of the world. Therefore, they hate you. Chosen. In 1 Peter 4 and 12, you know, I don't have time to read all these, but my time is up. It talks about the fiery trials. Fiery trials. Those are the ones that bend and mold you and take out impurities. That's just a day in the life. Don't think it's strange that you go through this stuff. And then in James 1 and 23, it talks about diverse temptations, which just means different temptations. You're going to have them. It's no different than my day, than your day. Some days are better than others. Some days are really bad. Sometimes I do good. Sometimes I'm in there going, Lord, am I going to die? It's like, you have no faith. Get back up there. Get back out there. There are times when my husband walks in and he'll say, what kind of day you had? He does it purposely because he doesn't know how to step in the house. It's like, how's your day, honey? I was like, it's a good day. He said, really? You're sitting over awful quiet. Sometimes me and Jesus got to talk. Sometimes I'm going through the day and the Holy Spirit's showing me this and this and this. And it's hard when he shows you the roots. But he's wanting to help you not produce that fruit anymore. So it's just a day in the life. Every day is a good day. Every day is a blessed day. So don't be surprised when the enemy comes against you. When the storms rise up, let me tell you, the storms will come up. When we start treading on his territory, he's going to show up. He don't like it. He's going to use everything he can to keep you from doing what you're purposed to do. And he knows you have the authority and the power to do it. That's why he's such a blowhard sometimes. That's why he's a liar, a deceiver, and he's also a murderer. Don't ever forget that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your words encouraging us that every day is another day to be Christ-like. Despite what the enemy brings against us, despite what we feel, despite what we were, every day is a day in the life that we can do better, that we can be better, that we can help others see you in us. Now I pray, Father, that this word will take root in the hearts and grow and prosper. And let us be the men and women of God we are called to be. In Jesus' name, amen.